What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys, and welcome to the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks. I'm a mental health advocate, a coach, and an athlete aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. Thank you so much for listening. If you are new here, if it's your first time, so happy again that you're taking the time out of your day to listen to my podcast. I created this podcast in hopes to help you reach your highest physical and mental potential. In this podcast, we talk about fitness, we talk about nutrition, mental health, bodybuilding, business, mindset, and so much more. In today's episode, I'm going to be sharing with you guys 10 tips for sticking to a caloric deficit. So let's start with what led me to talk about this topic today. How am I currently feeling? What is my season of life right now? By the time you're listening to this episode, I will be about 4 weeks out from my bodybuilding competition nationals in New Jersey. I'm super excited, definitely feeling the prep feels, feeling pretty hungry, definitely feeling pretty tired, definitely trying to keep my mental health strong. You guys know how it goes if you're a competitor out there. To be honest, as far as the way that I'm looking, obviously, you know, bikini is a physique-based sport. Not super confident in my physique right now, but we are pushing hard. I'm trying to really trust in my coach and just trust the process as well. I'm always super hard on myself. I'm always my own biggest critic, so I could probably look super shredded and be 3% body fat and still feel like I didn't look as good as I do. So definitely trying to keep my head in a good spot and just know that I'm putting in the work. And at this point, it's just going to be up to whatever the judges think in 4 weeks from now. You know, I'm cutting calories. Again, I'm training really hard. I'm executing my cardio. I'm prioritizing rest and recovery, and I'm giving it 100%, but no lie, I mean, prep is definitely getting hard. So as I'm kind of brainstorming a couple days ago on what this episode should be about, I realized, wow, I am so damn hungry right now. All I can think about is food. It kind of led me to share with you guys, how do I do this? You know, how do I stay in this caloric deficit for 16 weeks and make it all the way through, never cheating on my diet, never getting in too bad of a spot emotionally, always able to keep a positive mindset even when calories are extremely low and cardio is high and movement is high and rest isn't great? How do I do this? How do I stay in a caloric deficit day in and day out? That's what I'm here to share with you guys today. So let's start by listing what a caloric deficit is. If you're not familiar with this term, a caloric deficit is when you are burning more calories than you are consuming. So many people want to be in a caloric deficit, but they either don't know how to do it or they fail when they are trying to burn more calories than they consume every single day. Because don't get me wrong, it's hard. When you are in a caloric deficit, it's normal to be hungry. There's no way around it. And to be honest, it's actually a good thing to an extent for a period of time because you know it's working. When your stomach literally feels like it's eating itself, you're probably cutting the calories pretty low and you're probably going to see some progress from that. So again, this isn't something you want to do long term, but say you're in a competition prep or say you're cutting for a specific event or say you just want to look better. You want to lose some weight. You want to feel a little bit better. You want your body fat to be lower. The only way to do this, you guys, is by being in a caloric deficit over an extensive period of time. So we're going to break down again 10 ways you can manage your caloric deficit to the best of your abilities. Point number one is prepare in advance. If you know me, you know I am not a last minute type of person with anything in my life. I'm probably thinking about the future too much, but preparing in advance is going to make sure that you stay on track when you are in your caloric deficit. We talk about preparing in advance in a lot of my episodes, so this is nothing new, but the point is so valid, the point is so important that I want to make it again. Say you are in this caloric deficit and you are too tired to cook. You're probably going to mess up and grab the first thing in your refrigerator, but if you already have that meal prep ready to go, your food is measured out, and all you have to do is pop it in the microwave for 45 seconds, I can guarantee you that your adherence is going to be better, and you're not going to feel as tired because you're not going to have to go in and cook the meal and weigh the meal and then do the dishes after and all of this, yada, yada, yada. So Make sure you're preparing in advance with your meals. It sets you up for success, so you're not tempted to order in or just to choose the first thing that you see in your pantry or, again, refrigerator. And that brings me to the second point. Number two, don't have unhealthy foods laying around the house. This just makes it more likely for you to mess up. Again, just like the first point, it tempts you. So it makes you even think about that certain food a little bit more when it's sitting right in front of your face. And I'll give you a certain example. So I really like these salad dressings from Trader Joe's. And right now, my fat is very low. My overall calories are pretty challenging, so I'm not eating salad dressing at night on my salad. I'm having just, you know, a lean ground beef with a little bit of veggies and some egg whites. That's my last meal. I'm not having any dressing. So I used to kind of load up my salad with dressing at night when I was in my off season. And even when I first started this competition prep for this year, I had dressing in for probably like the first 6 weeks of my diet. So that was kind of my favorite part of the night. I would sit down on my couch. I would try to relax my mind. I would eat my little salad and then I would go to bed. But I don't get to have that dressing anymore, and that was probably my favorite thing on my plan. I know it sounds like something silly, but those sauces are pretty good. They're not super high in calories or anything, but I just can't have it right now because it's going to be extra fat and, again, extra calories. So I had probably three or four of them in my fridge, I noticed a couple weeks ago, and I just thought to myself, every time I see this salad dressing, it makes me want it. Y'all, I'm not going to say tempted because I would never cheat on my diet. I work too hard. It does not even faze me anymore to see things like that. But it doesn't really help. You know what I mean? Because it makes me think about what I can't have and how good that salad used to be. So I took all of those dressings, although I hate wasting food, and I just threw them away, okay? Because I don't want to see it. And I recommend that you guys do the same thing. If you have a food that's tempting to you or something in your refrigerator that you really enjoy, why have the mental side of just looking at it every day and knowing that you can't have it? Or if you're someone who's maybe not as self-disciplined and you feel like it's going to make you mess up on your nutrition protocol, just throw it in the trash can or give it to your neighbor or take it back to the grocery store. I don't know. Just make sure it's not in your sight. Number three is prioritizing your sleep. This is vital. Now, I will say when you're in a caloric deficit, a lot of times it does make it a little bit harder to sleep because you're hungry and you're kind of not feeling super satiated before you go to bed. However, the more you can do to manage your sleep well, to go to sleep at a normal hour, to keep that sleep cycle consistent, the better you are going to feel. You're going to have more energy for your training sessions. You're going to be less moody throughout the day and just have a better quality of life. Lack of sleep negatively impacts our hunger hormones. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed that you have more cravings and you are more hungry when you don't sleep well? This is because of our body's hunger hormones, and they can be affected by just one bad night of sleep. So you have ghrelin and leptin. Leptin is basically an appetite regulating hormone. It sends a signal to your brain that says, hey babe, I'm full, no need to eat anymore. When you are sleep deprived, that leptin becomes dysregulated and it can affect the way the hunger hormone is released into your brain cells. And on the other hand, you have ghrelin, right? Which is another hunger hormone. It is a hormone that tells your brain, hey girl, I'm hungry. When you have a bad night's sleep, ghrelin levels become elevated and they make you feel even more hungry. So the more you can do to, again, manage your sleep, the better. Point number four is be smart about your macros. And all of these tips are important, but this one I would say is even more at the top of my list. Now, I could talk about this topic all day, but I'm going to try to keep it short and tell you guys the three main areas that I want you to comprehend and that I want to break down for you. So first would be increase your protein intake. When your protein intake is a little bit higher on the upper level, this will lead to better feeling of fullness And also it will lead to just less muscle loss, because when you're dieting really hard, you have more of a potential, more of a risk to lose the muscle that you've worked so hard to build. And you want to make sure that you're still feeding your muscles properly. Remember, that protein is going to be the building blocks of our muscle cells. It helps your body repair, grow, and build new muscle tissue. So if you can keep that a little bit higher, that's what I would aim to do. Secondly, I would say structure your carbs and protein pre and post workout. When you are dieting, usually the carbohydrates are going to be one of the first things to go because they're not essential, right? Your body doesn't have to have carbohydrates. So with these carbohydrates, in order for you to feel your best and have the most productive training sessions, I would say if you are able to still have a little bit of carbohydrates in your diet, which even me now that I'm dieting hard, I still have carbohydrates, especially structured around my training times. I try to keep my carbohydrate intake the highest before I train and after I train. That way, I'm really thinking about using those carbohydrates as fuel for my training. I don't want to save the carbs for before I go to bed or when I first wake up in the morning. I want to save them for when I'm about to go train, whatever time that may be. I found that, again, this makes my workouts better. It makes me feel better while I'm training. Remember, those carbohydrates are going to be essential for your energy production. That is going to be your body's main energy source. And lastly, on the macro side of things, I want you guys to really spread your meals evenly throughout the day. This is a mistake that I see people make way too often. They'll go super extended periods of time without eating, or they're only eating two huge meals a day, or they're saving all their macros for nighttime. This is not smart. It's not going to be good for your digestive system. You're going to feel these slumps of good energy and bad energy throughout the day. And when you are dieting hard, it really is best just to space your meals evenly throughout the day, spread the protein evenly throughout the day, and try to distribute your macronutrients as best as you can in each meal. Moving on to point number 5. Speaking of food, speaking of macros, I want you to eat volume foods. And what I mean by this is more volume can make you feel more full. And typically what I'm about to share with you guys is going to be lower in calories. So say you have a meal that is ground beef and rice, a basic bodybuilding meal, a basic even lifestyle meal that I'll put on a lot of clients' plans. Instead of just having the rice and the beef, I would recommend adding in some veggies. The veggies are going to be something that is non-starchy, right? It's going to be something like peppers and onions or mushrooms or, you know, zucchini. Something like that added to your meals is very helpful because it's, again, low in calories, but it's going to make you feel like you're eating more and it's going to make you feel fuller. Another swap that I like to do is just adding like shredded lettuce to my meals. So say I have a meal at nighttime that, again, is my ground beef and egg whites. I'm going to always put a little bit of lettuce on the side. It's not much, but again, just seeing that more volume, it's kind of like a brain thing, number one. It makes it look like you're eating more because there's more on your plate. But also, it's going to just make you feel more full. And I will say one red flag, don't go crazy with this. If you're eating an insane amount of vegetables and these like very high bloat green veggies, the ones that are cruciferous, it could definitely make you feel more bloated and more constipated. And you don't want to do that. Again, when you're dieting, you have to realize when you're in a caloric deficit, you're going to be hungry and there's no way around it. So don't, again, go crazy with this, but to have a moderate amount, one serving of vegetables with a couple of your meals every single day is not going to hurt you. Moving on to the next one, number 6, take advantage of caffeine. Now, caffeine gets such a bad rap, but I am so pro-caffeine. I think utilization of caffeine when you are in a caloric deficit drastically helps you for a multitude of reasons. Again, don't go crazy here. You don't need to be consuming, you know, 600 milligrams of caffeine a day. But to consume a moderate amount a couple times throughout the day, I think is totally fine. And for me, caffeine is like my holy grail when I'm dieting. So firstly, that caffeine is going to give you more energy and more focus. And when you have a lot of work task and home task and things to accomplish in your daily routine like me, that caffeine, again, is going to be a lifesaver. So take advantage of the caffeine. Secondly, when you are drinking caffeine, it is going to reduce your hunger. One of my favorite things is an energy drink. I do have one every single day. I never have more than one. I try to keep this fairly moderate, but I won't lie to you guys. I do have one every day. My favorite at the moment, just to give you guys a recommendation, are the ones by Ghost. Ghost is such a fabulous brand. I love the blue raspberry, like Sour Patch Kid flavor, and I also love the strawberry margarita flavor. If you guys want to check those out, they are amazing. And believe me, I'm not sponsored by this company. I wish I was, but Ghost energy drinks are just stocked in my fridge. I love them. It's one of my favorite treats throughout the day. So speaking of liquids, tip number 7 would be make sure you are drinking enough fluids, and I mean primarily water. A lot of times our body thinks we are hungry, but we're really just thirsty. And this is one of the most common problems I see, not with just competitors, but really just with the average lifestyle individual too. So remember, you need to be drinking a good bit of water throughout the day to make sure that you're hydrated. Always like to recommend about a gallon to 1.25 gallons per day for the average individual, especially in Florida. It is like brutally hot right now here. So I make sure that I'm getting in enough water. Another thing on the fluid side of things, of course, again, you want your primary fluid intake to come from water, but you can also take advantage of like EAAs and diet sodas. EAAs are amazing for muscle recovery. One of my favorite brands on this one is by PE Science. I love the orange dreamsicle flavor. Again, not sponsored by this company, but I order them every single month. The EAAs are for a specific reason. As I said, that muscle recovery, I usually drink them while I train. However, if there's a day where I'm really hungry, they're super low in calorie and there's just straight up not a whole lot to them, but they have a good flavor. So sometimes I'll mix this in my water and just drink it as I am walking to work or training clients or on my rest day, something like that. And it just kind of helps me have a little bit of flavor in my mouth and kind of like curb my hunger a little bit. And then diet sodas, again, they get a bad rap, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that diet sodas are amazing for you, but we're talking about ways that you can stick to your caloric deficit, and it's hard to consistently burn more calories than you're eating every single day, especially when those calories drop lower and lower. So again, I think like the energy drinks, as long as you don't go crazy with these, I think one diet soda every day is not going to harm you too much. They do have a lot of artificial ingredients in them, which are not good for you. However, one a day is not going to kill you. So one of my favorites is a diet root beer. And I'm going to tell you guys a tip-top secret. My dad taught me this when I lived back home in Alabama. This is the best way to make your root beer taste good if you're dieting. So what you need to do is take that root beer, put it in the freezer just for about 15 minutes to where you'll see it get a little bit white at the top. Like it's almost about to ice over, but then it doesn't. And then you'll take it out of the fridge and you'll drink it. And it makes the diet root beer like frosted. Ooh, let me tell you guys, when you are hungry, that diet root beer hits so hard. When I lived back home, I would take like a bath every night. And it was so relaxing because I would like call my dad in the middle of the bath and I'd be like, hey, can you leave me a diet root beer outside the door? And he would. I'd be drinking that diet root beer in the bath. It'd be so relaxing. And when you're dieting, it's those small little things. So take advantage of the fluid. But again, everything within moderation. Point number 8 is simple. Keep yourself busy. Now, this has never been a problem for me. I love working. I love helping people. I love not being lazy. It's always harder for me to slow down, but there are days where I'm maybe not as busy, or there are days where maybe I'm more tired and I just can't push myself to do as much, right? When you are bored, when you are not productive, to me, it makes you think about food more. So I see people very often just eat out of boredom. So I would say if there's going to be a day to where you know you're going to be a little bit more hungry, now, of course, rest as much as you can, but I would say try to keep yourself busy, whether it be with work, whether it be with chores around the house, running errands, seeing friends, whatever. But I wouldn't just plan nothing that day because it's going to make you think about food even more. I can promise you guys. So stay busy and make sure you're doing things in life that fulfill you. Being busy is a good thing too. And this kind of leads into point number 9. As far as the being busy side of things, don't avoid social situations. For me personally, I used to do this so much in the past, and I think this is a common stigma behind bodybuilding in general on the competitor side of things. When you're prepping, it's hard, and a lot of times you don't feel like being a social butterfly, which is totally okay, especially like those last, I would say like 6 weeks and below of prep. You're probably not going to want to go out with your friends as much. You're probably not going to want to spend the entire day at the beach, things like that. But it's not like you can't do anything at all. You know, you should still spend time with your family. You should still spend time with your loved ones because bodybuilding should be something you enjoy. You should look at it from a perspective of I am choosing to do this, not I have to do this. Same thing if you're not in bodybuilding. I just say this because this is the current season of life that I'm currently in. But if you're dieting, no one's making you be in that caloric deficit. And you need to remember that you are choosing to do in that caloric deficit. You're choosing to burn more calories. You're choosing to eat less because you want to feel a certain type of way, or you want to look a certain type of way, or you want to be your best on stage. Whatever the case may be, you want to know your why, and you want to make sure that you're not letting that negatively impact your life. So still have fun, you know, still go out and do things, and don't isolate yourself. Again, I stress this so much because I've made this mistake in the past. And if you have good people around you, they can lift you up and they can make the dieting process seem less hard, or they can be in that same position with you if you have a friend who's also trying to eat healthier and trying to move more. So that community will help you guys so much in a caloric deficit and just in everyday life too. I'm such a big advocate of community. If you are struggling with your diet on that side of things too, you can also reach out to me, okay? Always know that I'm here for you guys, and you should not avoid talking to people or going out in public because you're hungry. Another alternative too is, you know, a lot of times social situations really revolve around food. And this is something I hate about society. You don't have to go out to eat to have fun. There's so many other things you can do. So maybe instead of asking your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your friend to go out for dinner, maybe ask them to go for a walk. Maybe ask them to go out for a coffee. Maybe ask them to go to a yoga class or go to the gym with you. There's so many other things you can do besides going out and eating a pizza, right? And the last point I want to share with you guys is point number 10. This is a big one as well. Monitor your progress. When I am competing or when I am in the off season, I always monitor my progress. And what I mean by this is I take photos, front, side, and rear profiles. I take posing videos. I monitor my weight and I assess how I'm feeling. Monitoring your progress helps hold you accountable and it keeps you motivated and on track. Because remember, you see yourself in the mirror every single day. So a lot of times you may not see yourself the way as you are, or you may feel like you're not making progress, but sometimes seeing photos side by side or seeing that number on the scale move gives you that sense of hope, and it gives you that motivation and that excitement. It helps you remember why you started this caloric deficit in the first place. This is something that I also stress to my own nutrition and training clients. I make sure that my clients send me what's called check-ins, either weekly or bi-weekly, where again, they send me photos, they send me detailed feedback on how they are progressing, how they are feeling, a list of like 15 or more questions that I'm sure they get tired of answering, but I love reading them because I want to help and I want to get inside my clients' brains and be able to help them as much as I can. I want to watch them progress. I want to give them motivation. So again, make sure you're monitoring your progress. This will help you, again, remember why you started and just be more adherent to your caloric deficit. So to summarize, let me make this real easy for you guys. Remember these 10 tips if you want to be the best that you can be and the most adherent you can be in your caloric deficit. Firstly, prepare in advance. Next, don't keep tempting foods in sight. Prioritize your sleep. Be smart about your macros. Take advantage of volume foods and caffeine. Make sure you're drinking plenty of fluids, especially water. Stay busy, don't isolate yourself, make sure you're socializing, and monitor your progress. Those are the tips I have for you guys today. There are so many more that I could tell you, but these are the ones that I felt like are the most easy to comprehend and are the most important for anyone who is dieting. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you want me to discuss any specific topic or would just like to get in contact with me, please feel free to shoot me an email at kinsleymeeksfit@gmail.com. Or if you are interested in coaching, you need some help with your nutrition or your training or getting ready for posing on stage, please feel free to shoot me a DM at @yoitskinslow or Fitness for Fortitude. That is my business account. You can also, again, just send me an email. Whatever you want to do, please know that I am more than happy to help you. And I truly do love the industry that I am in. I also want to encourage you guys to listen to last week's episode. It was a very important episode to me, one that was near and dear to my heart. We talked a little bit about body dysmorphia and the effects of that as a competitor and how to just overcome that negative stigma, those bad body image issues, how to be more confident, how to feel more comfortable in your own skin. I did some crazy research on the topic of body dysmorphia, and it affects millions throughout the U.S. So be sure you check out that episode and share it with a friend. And before we end today's show, I want to take a question from a listener. If you guys, again, do have questions, you can always send it in. This is a question that I actually was asked in person just 2 or 3 days ago, and I thought it would be amazing to share with you guys. So one of my clients asked me this: how do you deal with post-show weight gain, and what is the average weight gain post-show? This is a really interesting question. Let me first off start by saying gaining weight post-show is actually a good thing, but to be honest, it's always been a struggle for me mentally. I like staying lean, especially in my line of work. A lot of the clients that I get are because I look a certain type of way. I try to stay very active on my social medias. You know, as a personal trainer, as a bodybuilder, I have a certain level that I like to hold myself to, and I don't like to get sloppy. However, when you are coming off stage, you are too lean, you are too conditioned, your hormones are usually not in a great spot, and you're feeling all kind of prep adaptations. Usually you're not sleeping very well, usually your body's under chronic stress, usually, you know, your joints are a little bit weaker, you know, I get a lot more like bruising easily, I feel like my lifts in the gym aren't as good, I would say my cognitive function isn't quite as good, my energy levels are really bad, and as you guys can tell, that does not seem like a very good quality of life. So you want to make sure you're gaining weight in the off season. I would say for me, my first true off season that I really had was just this past year. I gained about 17 to 18 pounds above my stage weight. And of course, some of this was muscle as well. But this was probably like the healthiest that I had felt. I was sleeping better. I was able to eat a good bit of food. I was super strong in the gym. And prior to that, I would say I really only put on like maybe 10 pounds post show. And it was for a very short period of time, maybe even like 8 pounds. It wasn't a whole lot. And again, some of that was muscle too. But one of my goals this off season was just to not let the way that I looked affect me as much and to really focus on that muscle building and just feeling better. So I'm glad that I was able to accomplish that. And I felt like I didn't let it get out of hand by any means. I'm not a big foodie anyways. So for me, the struggle has never been like, oh, I'm going to put on a ton of weight. It's been like, okay, I want to stay super lean, which is unhealthy, right? So you can't be in always a chronic period of dieting. And eventually that's just going to be, again, really hard on your body and it's going to weigh on your mind. That's what I would say for me personally, about 17 to 18 pounds above stage weight. But it can, for the average competitor, I would say it can be anywhere from 10 to 30 pounds. You don't really want to go much more than 30 pounds, I would say, for a bikini competitor. But what you're really looking for is, where do you feel your best? So I want you to ask yourself this question if you're a competitor: where do I feel my best? What is the point to where I'm sleeping better, I have better energy, I have better cognitive function, I'm doing really well at work, my body isn't hurting, I feel like I'm recovering quicker, I feel like I'm not limiting myself on dieting, I feel like I'm not under eating. There's a lot of different things I could tell you, but getting rid of those prep adaptations and feeling your best is how you know that you're at a healthy weight. So hopefully that answers your question. That was an interesting one, and I love the ones that are kind of catered towards competing too. So I want to thank you guys again for listening to today's show. If this show did help you in any way, if it gave you some perspective, if it gave you some insight on how you can manage your caloric deficit, please be sure to follow the show and rate and review the show. These rate and reviews mean a lot to me just because they help me be more encouraged to keep putting content out there. And they also give me more insight on what you guys like and what you guys do not like and just how much I can give back to the world, because this is a really cool outlet for me as well. So again, hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Wishing you as always the most optimal physical and mental health. And if you are dieting like me right now, hang in there, be tough, utilize these tips, and stay strong. Wishing you guys nothing but blessings leading into the rest of this week. I will talk to you guys next Thursday and hope you have a great rest of your day.